Okay, today we're going to finish up our unit on Dash, Dash Skita, etc. Why am I hearing an echo? No, that's muted. Oh, okay. Yeah, it was on. Fine. Okay, you hear me now? Great. Okay, so today we're going to talk about Chaliva. The Gemara on Sedehem and Aleph tells us that Cholev is Chayev Mishum Mefarek. Rashi says, Mefarek told the Dadash, as we've been trained to think until now. However, Tosus here points out on Sadihei Amud Aleph, HaCholev Mishum Dashu. So that's not actually what the Gemara says. The Gemara says Mefarek, and Rashi says Mefarek told the Dadash. The Tosus says, HaCholev Mishum Dashu, Kedepish Bekuntris, the Asya Braitha Karebi Huda, the Amra Yesh Disha Shalom Begidule Karka. If you're going to tell me that Cholev is Mishum Dash, so you have to hold that there's Disha Shalom Begidule Karka, because the Behema is Lav Gedule Karka. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense to associate Cholev with Dash. The Chenir Alui, the Vadek Rabbi Yehuda Asya, the Asya Chachamim Rebus Mishim Shmus, or Shem and Shari, fine, later in the Sugya. The Tosa says it must be if Cholev is Mishum Dash slash Mefarik told the Dash, that we have to hold Yesh Disha Shalom Begidule Karka. Tosas on Ayin Gimel Amidays that we saw at the beginning of our limud in a different context. Tosas there, Diba Maskel Mefarek, doesn't take that assumption so readily. Rabbeinu Tam is bothered. How can you say that Cholev is Mishum Dash Ein Disha Begidule Karka? And that's why Rabbeinu Tam is forced to say that Cholev is a Mishum Dash. It's Mishum. The Mefarek is Mishum Dash. It's Mishum Memachik, because you're smoothing the udder. That's a memachik problem. That's not a dash problem. But that itself leads to the problem that Tosis raises, the Gemara Kufim Dalet Amabez. The Gemara there distinguishes between Chole L'tocha Kedera and Chole L'tocha Ka'ara, which, as we explained when we discussed that in the context of Skitas Peros, the distinction between, according to most Rishonim, squeezing into solid as opposed to squeezing into an empty kli. So that makes sense if we're talking about sochet, if we're talking about dash. So then it makes sense to distinguish between if it's l'tocha ochel or now l'tocha ochel. Then you could talk about mashkaba l'tocha ochel, ka'ochel dami. But if the problem is one of the machek, then why does it make any sense to distinguish between l'tocha kedera, l'tocha karim, machek? Is totally oriented on the act that you're doing of the milking, not on what you're milking into, not the product of the milking. So that's the inherent problem with Shitas Rabbeinu Tam that Tosus doesn't really have an answer for. Why would you distinguish between Latoch HaKadera and Latoch HaKa'ara? Which is why Tosus's conclusion after that back and forth on Ayin Gimel is like the Tosus on Sadi Hey. You have to say that this Gemara is going like Rabbi Huda, that Yesh Disha Shelo the Gedule Kark. So that problem of how to reconcile the Cholev Gemara or the rationale for being Mechayev for Cholev with Ein Disha Shelo Gedule Karka is what forces the Chachmei Sfar, the Ramban, the Rashba, there on Sadi Hey, to conclude that Cholev is only the Rabbanan in a Chanami, Mina Torah, Ein Disha Shelo Begidule Karka. So Mina Torah milking is not a violation of Mefareg told the Dadash. It's only Asir Lahalacha Midrabanan. That's not Wisim Lahalacha. That's a minority position to be shown him. But some of the later Achronim will use that as a sniff together with other factors under certain circumstances. But that's what forces the Rabban and the Rashba to understand that Khalif is only an Issa Rabban, because otherwise, how do you get out of the problem of Ein Disha Ella Shelo Begidule Kark? And in the other direction, Tosos in Ksubis, in the Gonei Achyonik Sugya, Tosos Ksubis Samach Hamad Aleph, Nibir Maskel Mefarek, Tosos assumes that no, the answer is that Behema is considered Gedule Karka, yeah, in a chanami ain't gedisha ala begdulei karka, but an animal is gedulei karka. An animal gets sustenance from the ground. However you explain why that's considered gedulei karka, but an animal is gedulei karka, and therefore there's no stira to the klal of ain't gedisha ala begdulei karka. And that may be the shitas harambam as well. If you take a look at the Rambam, Perek Ches, Halacha Zayin. The Rambam, Perek Ches, Halacha Zayin. Hacholi Vesa Behema, Chayiv Mishum, Mefarek. Says the Kesef Mishnah, quoting from the Ramach, Lo Hivanti Dvarav. Shehu kasa b'samach, the mefarik told us dashu, the kasa of ein dishel we do like karka. So how does all this stem within the Rambam? On the one hand, the Rambam paskins ein disha shalom we do like karka. On the other hand, the Rambam says that cholev is mishum mefarik, and the mefarik is told the dash. So how does that all work together? How can you say both? And that your chayef for cholev mishum mefarek tolda didash. That's what the Kesef Mishnah quotes from the Ramach, and he leaves that as a sarachian. Says the Magen Mishnah, no, the Rambam holds that animals are considered gedulei karka. Like Tosis and Ksubis. So the Rambam's consistent. Yeah, ein disha el shelo gedulei karka, but animals are considered gedulei karka. Again, so three approaches to this problem so far. According to Tosis Sadi Hey, the upshot of Tosis on Ein Gimel, if you say that Mefarek is chayim mishum dash, Cholev is Mishum Mefarek, it means to say that Lalacha Yesh Disha Shelo B'Kedulei Karka. You have the position of the Ramban, the Chachmei Svard, that Cholev is only Derabbanan. And you have the position of Tosis and Ksubis and the Rambam, at least the Leva, the Magen Mishnah, that Ein Disha Shelo B'Kedulei Karka, but a Behema is considered Disha. And then you have the Rabbeinu Tam, who says that, no, Mefarek, the Mefarek of Cholev is not Mishum Dash, it's Mishum Memachek. If you look at the Shvisas HaShabbos, the Shvisas HaShabbos quotes other minority opinions in Rishonim that suggest maybe you can pin it on other Malachas, maybe you can pin it on Gozes. So the Shvisas HaShabbos, I believe, counts a total of 8 answers to this problem of where does Choleva fit? Yeah. The Ramban, that is the Rabbanan, and 7 possibilities in Rishonim, how it ends up being a Daraisa. We also mentioned, which we didn't mention the context where this came up, but it's our context in our Hakdama, when we discussed the difference between an Av and a Tolada, we mentioned in passing that there's a Tshuva of Rabbi Ramban Hoshel Rambam, that the Shvisas HaShabbos excerpts in his Hakdama to Kvalei HaMalachos, and Rabbi Ramban Hoshel Rambam there writes, that even though Ein Disha Shelo B'Gedulei Karka, that's only true when it comes to the Av of Dash, but a Talad of Dash exists even Shelo B'Gedulei Karka. So that's the reason, that's what kind of forced Rabbi Ramban Hoshel Rambam to say this, to explain how you could have Disha, how you could have Chaliva as a form of Mefarek told the Dash, and yet say that ein disha ella shelo b'gedulei karka. So that's a question out for now. You know, what weight do you give when the Magen Mishnah has one shah on the Rambam, and Rambam Noshel Rambam has a different shah on the Rambam? How much more weight do you give Rambam Noshel Rambam over, I'm sorry, their contemporaries? Yeah.
We always quote Rambam for like bad things, right? He has a lot of like minimal stuff.
Right. Right.
Relax, this is the only good shot. It's like, it's kind of
one of those. This one?
Yeah.
Okay. Were you in the shiur for Shabbos?
I think we did I've heard other pieces, other ones.
Right.
And
that's Samuch or the beginning? And that base. Okay, right. Got it. Okay. I mean, fascinating also, because usually we would assume that a Tolada is more restrictive than an Av. And here the Tolada is more expansive. Okay.
Can you repeat what Micah said?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Micah said that Rosenzweig is a big fan of this Ravamino Shel Rambam because. I'm sorry? Right. He thinks that the other Ravamino Shel Rambams are more minimalist, and this is more ambitious. Okay. fine. But that's, I guess, Todd more Birur. Did he give more Birur?
Yeah, he called it the whole like Hakira, or the side of Hakira is called.
Yeah.
The Genesis.
But are there other examples? Are there other examples to where a Tolda is more expansive than the Av? I can't think offhand, but yeah. Okay, you let me know. Fine. So, bottom line, la halacha, the way it's called in Shulchan Aruch, and the way we generally assume, we see Cholev as a Tolad of Dash, which is the Mefarik Tolda Dadash. And whether you view that as holding that Yesh Disha Shalobik Dulei Karka, or whether you view an animal as Dulei Karka, doesn't necessarily make that much of an afkamina as far as the particulars of Cholev. Now, we just referenced the Gemara and Daf Kufnam Dalet Mebeis that distinguishes between Latoch HaKadera and Latoch HaKa'ara in the context of Cholev. So that's the Gemara, five lines from the bottom. Amr of Chista, take a look if you have the Kuf and Dalet of the days. Amr of Chista, Midiver Rebbeinu Nilmad, Cholev Adam Eiz Leso Chakadera, Aval Lo Leso Chakara. Alma Kasaver Mashka Bal Ochel Ochel. So you're allowed to squeeze goat's milk into a Kadera, but not into a Kaara. Says Tosvos, Nealer Benatam, the Hainu Dafka Beyantiv. So on Yantiv, when theoretically you could shecht an animal, an animal is considered royal achila. So then you can argue that if you're squeezing, you're milking an animal into ochel, that's ochel de'ifris. That's ochel that is balusoch ochel. Ava b'shabis lo chazi l'shkita k'mo dash chashiva shebehema hikip soles u'kishacholiv havikinotel ochel. He talks to us. But on Shabbos, where the animal is not right for anything, you can't shecht an animal, you can't eat the animal. So then you can't view that as ochel de ifris. That's ochel mitoch absoles. And ochel mitoch absoles is no heter litocha ochel. As opposed to skitas peros, skitas ezim anavim, which is mutal litocha kedera, that's because the anavim are ru'uyim lachila on Shabbos. So Ben Tam understood. This whole Gemara, the distinction between Toch HaKadera and Toch HaKara, and the heter of milking with Toch HaKadera, that only applies on Yontiv, not on Shabbos. And that's what we assume Lahalach, and the Mechaber makes no mention of such a heter in Hilchah Shabbos, but he does in Hilchah Yontiv. Sim and Tav Kof Hei, the Mechaber paskins, that you're allowed to milk an animal on Yontiv, L'soch HaKadera, L'soch HaOchel. Mishabruder quotes a machlokas rishonim, not our inyan. Is that true? Even if a behema is a madness l'chaliva, you have a milking cow as opposed to a cow that's meant for shechting. So is that considered omei l'chila? Theoretically, you could shecht it, but you wouldn't normally shecht it because it's meant for milking and not for shechting. Yeah. It doesn't sound like that. So you're asking. No, I think people, I think they asked this as a steer in Rebbeinu Tam. Okay. Meaning the assumption of this Rebbeinu Tam is that you're right, Rebbeinu Tam is going with Dosh over here, and that's the contrast to Shechita. So they ask, how is this Rebbeinu Tam, or the Rabbeinu Tam seems to be at odds with the Rabbeinu Tam of Memachek. Correct. So I forget. Salman says the Rabbeinu Tam is closer in one direction. I forget who. And I'm trying to remember if I saw another Yishuv also. But that's, yeah, they point out that these two Rabbeinu Tams don't seem to work together. Okay. Take a look at the Rush in Perek Yud Ches Seif Gimel. Perek Yud Ches Seif Gimel. Simon Gimel, sorry. So at the end of the, this is on the Gemara Kuf Kaf Chasim and Beis, in the context of Sar Balei Chayim. So the Rush writes, Mikan Hitir Rabbeinu Meir, the Maram, Lilmod Lenachri Sheyachlo Vesbehemto B'Shabbos, Shebehema Mitzta Ara, Meirov HaCholav Shebidadeha, Vitzar Balei Chayim Daraisa, Dach Yishvus Tamir Lenachri. So, B'makom Sar Balei Chayim, you're allowed to violate a Shvus. So you're allowed to have a Nachri milk a cow on Shabbos if the cow is pained by not being milked. If you have it open, just take a look at the Korban HaSanu here, Osayin. Mashma filu achal of Mutal Yisrael. So once he's milking it, the Yisrael could use it. Have a Beis Yosef, Beis Yosef quotes in the Kolbo, then no, it's going to be usher to use on Shabbos because of Mashing Shazavu, just as Ragozer on Zesim Anovim that are squeezed Mimel on Shabbos, that's usher on Shabbos. So too, if a Nochri milks a cow on Shabbos, that'll be usher Mishum, Mashkin Shazavu. But this is what's quoted, this Maram is quoted Lalach in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Shin Kaf, if hey, that if you have a cow on Shabbos, and the assumption is that a cow would have a significant tsar if you go a full 25 hours without milking the cow, says the Mechaber, Simon Shinhei Sivkaf. I think I just said Shinkaf Hei. If I did, I apologize. Simon Shinhei Sivkaf. Mechaber writes, Mutter Lomar Le'eno Yehudi Lachlov Behemto B'Shabbos Mishim Sar Balei Chayim Shachalav Mitzara V'Chalav Aser Bo Bayom. As we just saw, the Korban HaSanhel reference. V'Yeshomrim Shetzarech Liknosa Min Ha'ena Yehudi. You should make a kinyan the Dover Muat Shelo Yinira Kachalav L'Zoch Yisrael. It should be mapped to something so that it doesn't look like the Nachri is doing this work on your behalf on Shabbos. So this is the classic Eitzah back to the Rishonim. What do you do if you have a milk farm on Shabbos? You can't let the cows go without being milked. Have an Eina Yehudi do the milking. The Mishnah Berurah just adds, quoting from the Magen Avraham, Sivkata and Ayin Gimel, Tov Chiyachlov Eina Yehudi L'soch Ochal, Tavle Shvus D'Shvus, that if you're going to milk it into Ochal, that's vayter and additional to Rabbanah. So even though we assume that you're not allowed to be cholid l'soch ochel on Shabbos, as we just saw, the Gemara Kuf and Dalet or Bein Atam, but at least according to the Rambam says that that's patur v'laser, that's only nisr to Rabbanah. And if you're cholid l'soch ochel, so then if you can have a nachri be cholid l'soch ochel, then you're already dealing on the level of shvus to shvus, the shvus of the bir l'nachri, and the shvus of being cholid l'soch ochel, so that's even better. However, Lemaisa, Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa quotes, Perek Kav Zayin, Seif Mem Ches. In footnote, Kuf Samach Dalet. He says, In practice, if you have a nachri doing your milking, you're allowed to have it milked into a kli, and you can preserve that till after Shabbos, meaning you don't have to waste the milk by pouring it into ochel, which presumably would make it relatively unusable. You're allowed to pour it into a kli. And he says there are grounds to even be matre betiltel. What's going to happen? You have the milk going into the kli on Shabbos. At first glance, that should now be usser, because it's a basis adavar usser. The milk is nola, it was just milked on Shabbos. If it's in a kli, that kli is a basis adavar usser and should be usser betiltel. So he says, even there's what to be makel about. Number one, according to some poskim, basis adavar usser is established when Shabbos begins. So if it's not a basis when Shabbos begins, it does become a basis on Shabbos. And even if you assume that it does become a basis on Shabbos, but if your intention at the get-go is to move it on Shabbos, it doesn't become a basis either. And he says, if you're going to hang something else on the receptacle to make it into a basis adavar asur v'mutar, then that's another reason to be makel to avoid a hefsek. He says, v'chein shamati pi hamikurav v'chazan ish, that the chazan ish is matir for the kibbutzim charedim to do this, to even move the milk that's collected by a nachri on Shabbos, so it's not going to go to waste. V'chein hiskim v'shom v'salmin. Okay. Fine. What happens if you don't have an nachri? So in Eretz Yisrael, there aren't as many nachrim available. So what's the eitza if you have a milk farm and you need to milk cows on Shabbos, and there's no nachri available? It says the Chazon Ish, Simen Nun Vav Os Dalid, Bizman She'eino Motze Eino Yehudi Lachlov, if there's no nachri around, you could be makel to be choliv in such a way that it's holech le'ibud. Either you're going to milk the cow and have the contents of the milk go into a kli with a davar hapogem, with soap, with ammonia, with something that's going to destroy it, or you can milk onto the ground. Because if it's holech le'ibud, at least according to some of the Rishonim, that's not considered to be mefarek at all. He says, the best thing to do is to milk it ayidei eino Yehudi. That's the derech hayashar al pi haTorah, v'sofa l'skayim, v'chei noagim b'chol ha'makomos, sh'Shabbos etzlan b'yoker. The people that really care about Shabbos, they find it eino Yehudi. Then he writes that you shouldn't knock people that are more makel. But he says the best thing is to find an Ein Yehudi. If you can't find an Ein Yehudi, there's what to rely on to milk it in such a way that it's holech le'ibur. Chaim Ozer talked, yeah? Mm-hmm. in a situation where it doesn't, meaning you're right. So that'll be a separate issue. But you have to milk it onto the ground in the place where it's hard or it's not going to, there's no concern of the water causing anything to grow. Correct. B'chai Moser, Chela Gimel Simen Lamed Daled Os Beis. Chela Gimel Simen Lamed Daled Os Beis. It's asked about the situation of cows in Eretz Yisrael. That he heard that there are people that allow milking l'tocha ochel. And he says, Mafiela Dover, that's scary. To think that someone would say such a thing. And when I heard that people are relying on some Rav Mei Ashkenaz, some German rabbi, I wrote about this to Rav Kook. He says, Yesoda Dover, who may ha'lu'umim ha'portzim, asher etzlam avoda ivrit docha Shabbat. So the nationalists who think that avoda ivrit is the highest value and is docha Shabbos, ve'achareyam nimshachu gam hamonam li'ishim yisod leheter, and there are people that follow that without any basis in halacha. Because of Mishnas Yaakov, they should be machmir even l'soch ha'ochlin, that's a chashash de'araisa. They have to be machmir. That's what okay, so then Chaim Moser says that if you can't find an ochri, he talks about the possibility of having a katan do it. If it's not your own katan, he's not such a fan of milking in a way that's holich li'ibud, because that's that may still be an iser derabanan. Although in the Shvir Shabbos, he quotes that Chazanish in a different letter, the Chaim Moser in a different letter, which I couldn't find, printed in the Igros Chazanish, apparently was more makel about milking in such a way that's holech li'ibud. And Rav Kook in his tshuva, Orach Mishpat, Orach Chaim, Simen Samach Dalid, Orach Mishpat, Simen Samach Dalid. He's not a fan of being cholev agabe karka either, but he says it's okay if you want to look the other way. That it's okay to look the other way, but you shouldn't publicize such a heter. But to go beyond the heter of l'socha karka, that is totally unacceptable. So Rav Kook was less willing to cut some slack on being cholev l'socha karka than the Chazon Ish was. But then the Chazon Ish has another avenue that he addresses. This is in Simen Lamed Ches If Dalid, in the context of Grama. He says, let's say you have a electric milking apparatus. Right? No one milks cows by hand anymore. You have an electric milking apparatus. So if it's set on a timer and you're going to connect the unit to the udders when the timer is off, when the electricity is not flowing, in such a way that all you're doing is at worst a grama, because when you connect it, the electricity is off, and then it's going to go on later. He thinks that should be mutter. And he says, even if it's on, but you're going to connect it and it's holichli ibud, he thinks that also should be mutter. But to connect it when it's on and it's going to catch the milk, that is Malacha Mamish, because that's all Korach Rishon. The second that you connect the machine to the udders, it milks right into a kli. That's not Grama. That's Malacha Mamish. So Kaddish here seems to be assuming, I hope we'll talk about Grama some point later in the year, but not for now, seems to be assuming a definition of Grama that is exclusively time delay oriented, both to the Rav's understanding of Grama, but not for now. Then he says, what if you do the following? What if you're going to connect it in such a way that it's holech li'ibud, and then after it's already milking onto the ground, you'll stick a kli under the machine, and it'll collect in the kli. He says, Issa deraisa it isn't, but still asa to do that. He quotes the Gemara Dafkas in the context of Hotzah and Havara. They have situations where, technically speaking, if you divide your act of Hotzah into subsections, each subsection in and of itself is mutter. But nevertheless, you can't do that in such a way that's going to result in a malacha that's still going to be an iser derabbana. That's what the Chazanish writes over here. But even with that, Shmir Shabbos quotes that Lamaisa, the Chazanish was mako as follows. The first he quotes from Shlomo Zalman, that so the Chazanish said, what you can't do is you can't create a situation where it's going to be milking li'ibud, and then you're going to stick a kli underneath to catch the milk right after that. But he quotes from Shlomo Zalman, footnote Kufay and Aleph, that if someone else puts a kli under the milking apparatus, that's okay. Why? Because the first guy, when he puts the machine on, it's holech li'ibud. And there's no way that could come to an issur deraisa. Because even if he's going to put the kli underneath, that's only going to be a derabbana. So for someone else to put it underneath, that should be mutter. He says, in practice, it's not really practical to connect the milking apparatus to the udders when it's not operational, before the timer goes on. So he heard from Rabbanim Chashuvim Shlita that in the kibbutzim charedim, they were somich on the Chazanish's hat there, that the Malkum Hefzid Gadol, you can put it on even when the machine is running, as long as it initially goes li'ibud. So it sounds like what he's quoting is that even though the Chazanish and Sefer strongly discouraged creating a situation where it's initially holech li'ibud and then you're going to put a kli underneath, but it sounds like in practice, but Malkum Hefzid Gadol, he was matir. Okay, and there are other. I'm not holding at all the details of the modern milking solutions in Eretz Yisrael and the Tzomet milking things. There are some articles in Tchumin over the years about this. I haven't looked at them. Maybe we will. If you're interested, you can take a look. But you know, these are the basic parameters of milking cows in Eretz Yisrael on Shabbos. The assumption is that there's always sar, meaning it's a mela. If it's 5 minutes before the end of Shabbos, and it's hard to argue that you can't wait another 5 minutes. But I think the working assumption is that no animal can go a whole Shabbos, a whole day, without being milked. So there's always going to be sar bali chay. Again, how many? Typically, I believe cows are milked twice a day, so you probably can't go. you know, 12 hours without milking? Can you time it in such a way that you only milk it once over a 25-hour period? You have to ask the professionals. I have no idea. But I assume, I believe they're at 12-hour intervals. So it may depend on how many cows there are. If you have 300 cows that need to be milked, so it's not going to work just to milk it once in the middle of Shabbos. Yeah, one of the best family trips we ever took was to a milk farm to see how they milk cows on industrial levels. Mm-hmm. In America, Kreider Farms in Lancaster County. They have they do the run for Pride of the Farm, which is the Baltimore Chalav Yisrael brand. Highly recommended. Okay, so let's talk about nursing for a few moments. Shin Lamed Seif Ches, Nola Lishmini Osafik Ben Zaino Ben Ches, Shilogamru Saru Siparnav Asul Tatalo. So a Nefel, in essence, is Muksa. Aval Imo Shokal Avamani Kasa Menei Tzara Chalav Shemit Tzara. Techeini Basmi Chol Hosi Biyada HaChalav HaMitzarosa. So where there's an Nefel, the woman is going to be in Tzara. She doesn't express her milk. She's allowed to do so. Even Biyada, says the Mishnah Brura. Sivkat and Lamed Beis, Lohosi Biyada. What does it mean she can express the milk with her hands? It means it has to fall on the floor. The number one, it's holach liibud. Number two, the melacha shen zuk lagufa, the pater, it's only a melacha derabana, not worst. So it's holach liibud. And it's a melacha shen zuk lagufa, b'makom tzar, which is mutter. Okay. Now take a look at Simon Shin Kav Ches. Shin Kav Ches is a Simon of Chol B'Shabbos. So there the Mechaber writes in Sif Lamed Daled, Lo, take al isha chalamida da lasocha kos, o lasocha kadera, betanak espina. A woman is not allowed to express milk into a cup. Says the Mishruka Fidal of Mishum Mefarik. Take a look at the Baralacha, betanak espina. I am primagadim de lafla of me adam lasokli, yeshbo isidar raisa, Mishum Mefarik. As an iser daraisa to express milk into a kli. The says Shmira Shabbos, Perek Lamed Vav, Sif Kaf Aleph. Perek Lamed Vav, Sif Kaf Aleph. So, what happens if a nursing woman has too much milk? And it's painful, and she's not able to nurse her baby with that excess milk. So you're allowed to squeeze it onto the floor, as we saw in Simon Shin Lamed. And if that's difficult, you can use a pump. You can use a pump as long as it's holach liibud. What does it mean it's holach liibud? It's either use a pump and pump it onto the ground, or more commonly, use a pump and you put a davar hapogem in the kli that you're going to pump into. So you put soap, or you put something that's going to be pogem the milk. So that's holech liibud. Then Shmir Shabbos says, you could even put it on a Shabbos clock if you want to use an electric pump. Just like the Chazon Ish wrote by the cows, you can use an electric milking apparatus if you hook the cow up to it before it goes on, or maybe even after it's on if it's holach liibud. So Shmir Shabbos says the same thing for a nursing woman, if necessary. Okay. So that concludes our unit on Dash. Any questions here before we go?
Yeah, quick question. Meaning nursing is, why is it okay for one to nurse on Shabbos, nurse the baby on Shabbos?
Why is it okay for one to nurse the baby on Shabbos? Good. So Rabbi Eider has a few suggestions as to why that should be the case. Either he says it's Malacha Shein Esrichu L'Gufa, even though that's not so clear why that should be a Malacha Shein Esrichu L'Gufa, or that is the natural way of doing things. I mean, that is how a baby eats. So that's the baby eating. That's the natural way that food is delivered. I think Rabbi Willig suggested maybe the better answer is, as we discussed at the very beginning of our Shir Mandash, there is, at least the Igli Tal discusses, a distinction between Dash, where the action that you're doing is normally done basada versus normally done prior to ochel. So here, the normal way is for a baby to nurse from the mother. That's a kind of dash that's normally done samach la'ochel at the table, so to speak, which would be mutter. So just like you could possibly crack your peanuts, as we discussed, if the normal way of cracking peanuts is at the table, or maybe peanuts aren't the best example anymore, but something where you normally crack it or you normally peel it, samach l'achilas mutter, it's not a problem of dash. So here too, same thing. Okay? Fine. So let's move on. We're going to talk briefly about Zoreh, which is kind of the Hakdama to Boreh. And then we'll get into Boreh Mirtz Hashem next time. So the Malach of Zoreh is translated in English as winnowing, which classically was throwing up kernels of grain into the wind, and having the wind separate the chaff from the kernels. Rashi writes on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, first Rashi on the Mishnah, Zoreh, Berachas Aruach. You're winnowing it with a pitchfork into the wind. And the Rabbeinu Chananel writes on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph that if you're Zoreh Beruach Piv, that's also Zoreh. Doesn't have to be the wind. It could be wind generated by your blowing. So the Gemara tells us on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, the very bottom, Hainu Zoreh, Hainu Boreh, Hainu Merakeh. Aren't Zoreh, Boreh, and Merakeh essentially three flavors of the same malacha? It's all the same. So why are these listed as three different avos? Abai v'rava, the Amri Tarvayu, Kamilsa, the Havya B'mishkan, Afagav, the Ika, the Damila, Chashavla. The reason is that these existed in the Mishkan as three separate malachos, and that's why they're counted as three separate malachos. So what, in fact, is the difference in definition between Zoreh, Borer, and Merakeh? The Igli Tal points out in Simen Gimel Os Aleph in Zoreh, if you take a look at the Rabbeinu Chananel on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, the Rabbeinu Chananel writes as follows. That's a different Surah Sadaf than the standard Gemara. I'm looking for it here. Yeah, so the Beit Chanan writes, Nimsa Zora Bar Meraki Kulan Ma'avirin Psoles Hamureves Ba'ochel Ve'ena Mechuberes. So the common denominator between Zora Bar Meraki is they all remove Psoles that's mixed together with Ochel. V'cheinim Natal B'yado Adam Tfua If you take grain that's mixed together with the chaff and you blow it and you separate the grain from the chaff, chashivukazora. Perish borer, notel psolas mibena ochel, umashlicha. So you take psolas from the ochel and you throw it away. O notel ochel maniach psolas. So you take the ochel and leave the psolas. Mirakade, shematilas ochel psolas bekvara. You use a sieve. Use a sifter, v'nishar ha'ochel. Then he writes, the kevan da'asikna, ki azor v'abor v'mrakit kula mei malach achasein, mafish ha'psolos min ha'ochel, nishun da'avim mishkan ha'avilu t'lasa v'chayim v'alkol achas, the achas. So the Igla Tal points out, if you read the Sabbeinu Chananel carefully, what he's saying is that Zorev is Ayidei Ruach. Borer is Ayidei Yad. And Merakid is Ayidei Kli. Now the way to accomplish Zorev, essentially, these are all forms of being Borer Ochal Mitoch Solas. The difference is in what Igla Tal terms the Eichus HaPoel, the quality of the action that you're doing. So Zora means you're separating through wind. Bora means you're separating through your hand. And Merakin means you're separating through a Kli. So the difference is they're all Bora Och Mitoch Solas. The difference is Eichus HaPoel, what's the action that you're using in order to separate? And Igla Tal points out that seems to be in distinction to the following Rashi. Take a look at Rashi Ayin Heim and Beis, Harehu Oreg, the last Rashi before the Mishnah. First long line, Rashi writes, V'lodami l'zor rebor merake, v'zeb kashin, v'zeb tzroros, v'zeb kamach. What are zor rebor merake? Zora is with the hard pieces of grain. Bora is with pebbles. And Merakade is with flour. So it sounds like Rashi is saying the difference between the three is Be'echus HaNifal, the quality of the item which is subject to the Malacha. Are you separating grain? Are you separating pebbles? Are you separating flour? But not Eichus HaPoel, but Eichus HaNifal. So then he's bothered if that's the case, then why does Rashi stress on the Mishnah, the medium? Right? Rashi says Zora is Berachas L'Ruach. You're winnowing by throwing the grain into the wind. So the Igla Tal says, you have to say according to Rashi, that's just the normal way of doing Zora. But that's not definitional. And he says that's clear in the Me'iri. Me'iri and Ayin Gimel Amud Beis writes, Hazora Ratzalam Berachas Ruach, you winnow with a pitchfork into the wind, O Bekvara Shinekaveh Hagasim, or with a sieve with big holes, Lahafresh Atavim in a bar, to separate the grain from, or the straw from the rest of the grain. So Zora doesn't require wind. Wind is one ofen of Zora. But it's not definitional. So the Igla Tal says, this seems to be Machlokas Rashi and the Rebbeinu Chananel. According to the Rebbeinu Chananel, using wind is definitional. and the difference between Zarbar Merakinzol and the Echus HaPoel, what is the action that you're doing? As opposed to, according to Rashi, the way he understands, the difference is Be'echus HaNifal, what is the recipient of your action? But wind is not definitional to the Malacha of Zohar. The Shvisa Shabbos doesn't like that. He thinks that that's difficult to explain in Rashi. And Rabbi Kivager is bothered by this Rashi from a slightly different angle, this Rashi and Ayin Hei. Rabbi Kivager in the Chidushim, Ayin Hei Mebeiz Nibir Maskel Medakdek. So he's bothered. The way he phrases the question is, the Gemara says Zohar, Bor, Merakid are three different malachas. However, Dash and Menapetz are the same malacha. We explain that Dash is with regular fruit, and Menapetz is with Pishtan, and Menafet is with Kadin. Right? So Gemara on Ayin Gimel Beis says Dash Menafet Menafet are all considered Dash. They're all Bechlal Dash. So Kivager seems to be bothered that if the difference between Zohar Bar Merakit is Be'echos HaNifal in the subject of the Malacha, the object to which the Malacha is applied, so why is that any different than Dash Menafet to Menafet, where it's the same distinction? That's all Dash Menafet, Menafet, all the same. Just the question is, do you do it to Pishtan or to Kadin or to fruits? Rinkivager's Mitzayan Tosvas and Ayin Dalet and Menalef, Yibim Askel Afal Gav. So there, Tosas distinguishes and says that Dash and Menafet are really one and the same, Elish Ezebet Tvua Vezebet Pishta, as opposed to Zoreb Bor Merakid Him Shlosh Advar. So it sounds like he's saying Zoreb Bor Merakid are three things because that's different than Dash and Menafet. Dash and Menafet, the difference is Be'echos HaNifal, which is why they're considered to be the same halacha, as opposed to Bor, Merake, and Zora, which are different Be'echos HaPoel, which is why they'd be considered to be multiple malachas. So Rabbi Kivager leaves his Rashi as a Tzarachion, that saying that there's a difference Be'echos HaNifal should not be enough to justify counting them as three different malachas. The Shvisas HaShabbos, in the beginning of the Psicha to Zohar Bor Merakid, quotes a Shita L'Ran, the Chidusha Miyuchasim L'Ran, to answer Rashi, which basically says that there's a middle ground. It's not, it doesn't have to be Echos HaNifal as opposed to Echos HaPoel, but there could be a middle ground common denominator between Zohar Bor Merakid, which would distinguish it from Dash Menafetz. The Chidush Iran quotes from the Ra'ah, Kasav Ra'azal, Delodami Lezore Ubore Umarakade, Shenimden Bishlosha. That he's contrasting Zorea Zomer Vinotea, which are Malacha Achas, with Zore Bore Umarakade. The Hasam Shloshtan Tzrichim Bedaber Echad. When it comes to Zohar, Bor, Merakid, all of them are necessary when it comes to the same object. Aval kan, heichad isa lahai, lesa lahai, v'kulan inyan etiya v'zriyahe. So when it comes to Zoreya, Zomer, v'noteya, you're not Zoreya v'zomer on the same object. As opposed to Zohar, Bor, Merakid, which are three stages in the Sidur de Pas. If you're preparing the grain for use, then you're first going to be Zoreh, and then you're going to be Borer, and then you're going to be Merakeh. that it makes sense that you need all three of these steps as part of a preparation process of Sidur or the Pas. So I don't know if that means that it doesn't mean to say, it can't mean to say that every situation where you have Zorah, then you could perform Bo'er Merakit, or you need to perform Bo'er Merakit after Zorah. Just that there are situations in which that is the case, that there are, if you take wheat, so you may, and that's essentially what the point of Sidur the Pas is, that there is a progression. At first you'd be Zorah, and then after the initial chaff is separated, then there's still some other solace left at your Bo'er, and then there's still some other solace left at your Merakit. So there are different grades of solace that require different strategy to get rid of. So it's not a difference between Eichas HaPol versus Eichas HaNifal, per se. It's that the reason Zohar, Bo'er, Merakit or Malacha Achas is because, or it's not just, and for Rashi, I think what the Shisa Shabbos needs to say, is Rashi says that Zebek Hashim, Zebek Sor, Zebek Kamach, that's not the be-all and end-all. The fact that there's different elements that are affected by Zohar, Bo'er, Merakit isn't what in and of itself makes them to be separate malachos. It's that in combination with the fact that within a Sidur in the Pas, there's a progression where you could need all three of these in order to come to the final product. I think that's what the Shvisas HaShabbos is getting from this Chidushei Haran. Yeah. Right. Right. Okay. Right. I mean, the Shvisas HaShabbos doesn't spell out the way I just said it, but I'm assuming that's what he means. Okay. Good. So let's just make one more point, and then we'll close for today, and that is the Gemara on Daf Samach Amud Aleph in Bava Kamma. The Gemara has in Perek HaKones, Tanur Banan, Liba V'Libsa Ruach, Im Yesh B'Libuyav K'dei L'Labosa Chayev. So if you're fanning a flame, and the wind also contributes to the fanning of the flame. So if there's enough in your fanning to make the flame go and damage your chayiv, then la pater. But if your own fanning wouldn't be enough to make the flame damage, you're pater. Amai, why is that true? Lahavi kizor v'ruch misayaso. Why is that different than Zora? Malacha Zora on Shabbos. You throw the grain to the wind, and the wind takes it from there. And that's a malacha deraisa. So why is Liba v'lipsa ruach any worse? The Gemara has various terutzim of Amaram. Then the final terutz is Ravashi Amar, Ki Amrin and Zor Vruach Misayaso, Hani Milin and Shabbos. The Malachas Mach Shabbos Asur Torah. Aval Hacha Gram of Amahu, the Gram in Zakin Pater. The difference is, do we say, and when it comes to Shabbos, you say Malachas Mach Shabbos Asur Torah, as opposed to Nezikin, where Gram of Nezikin Pater. Says Rashi, Malachas Machshaves, Niskaima Machshavaso, Dinichale Berech Misayaso. When it comes to Shabbos, Malachas Machshaves has a Torah, and this is what you want. Here you want the wind to help with the winnowing. That's why it's a Malacha Deraisa, as opposed to Nezikin, where Grum and Nezikin Pater. Meaning to say, just about every other situation we invoke Malachas Machshaves, it's a Kula. This is going to be Pater on Shabbos because it's not Malachas Machshaves. Never should have escaped. So Malachas Shin is Ikla Gufa. It's Kalachar Yad. It's Lakim Malachas Machshaves going to be Pater. Here, it's the opposite. Because Malachas Machshaves after Torah, this is going to be Chayiv. This is a Malacha Daraisa because here we're concerned about your Machshava, and your Machshava is you want the wind to assist in the winnowing. And the Benezikin, they're Gram Benezikin Pater. So this is potentially further reaching than Zorah, that Malachas Machshaves HaSatorah sometimes could create a chiyuv and not just the Ptur. Shlomo Zalman in his Haskama or his Nichta Bracha to the reprinted Yesod Yeshurin of Rabbi Felder from Toronto, it's a very brief letter that he praises the author, the editor, for republishing the Sefer. And he says, Shabbos is such a hard limud with so many details. And the one example he quotes is this, that Kol HaTorah Kula, you have to understand concepts. Kol HaTorah Kula, Gram and Zikun Pater. And when it comes to Shabbos, Melachos HaShabbos HaTorah, and that's why Zohar Beruach is going to be Chayiv. The Rosh writes here as follows, Perek Vav, Simen Yud Aleph, and Bava Kama. What does it mean, Melachos HaShabbos HaTorah? The Lo Armin and Afa Pishis Sayo Aruach Basiyas HaEish. Havi Ki'ilu Hu Asal Levado. The Chashvina Lake, Ilu Asamalacha Levado, the Hasamalachas Nashavas Asatora, Alpha Pidalavi Elagrama Baalma, Bahaki Chiva Torah, Kevin de Malachazu, Ikras Yasai de Ruach. That Zorah is unique because the way you do Zorah is Ayide Ruach. So Chaim Moser understands in this rush, Pele Gimel Simon Samach in Nachiazer. The Rosh is saying this is not a broad concept when it comes to Melacha Shabbos, of Melachas Mach Shabbos L'chumra. It's unique to the definition of Zorah because when it comes to Zorah, Ikar Asiyasa B'kach, the only way to do Zorah is Ayidei Ruach. And definitionally, Zorah as such has to be Ayidei Ruach, even if you're not doing the entire action yourself. But when it says Melachos Mach Shabbos HaTorah, it's not telling you anything to be extrapolated beyond Zorah. Okay, let's stop here for today. Next time, Ritz Hashem, we'll just finish up on Zorah and talk about what's probably the only real Lamaisa. Has anyone ever winnowed before? Right, so I wasn't really planning on talking too much about Zorah, but the Lumdus that we spoke about today is important as Akdama to Borer. And the one Lamaisa application of Zorah is whether you're allowed to use spray deodorant on Shabbos. So we'll talk about that Mirtz Hashem next time. And then we'll go into Borer. For Borer, I haven't sent you Marmok. Has anyone finished Zorah yet? Has anyone started Borer? Okay. Have you done Sif Aleph already?
Yeah.
With the Tor Beis Yosef? Okay, so I'll have to give you send Marmokamas. Okay. How's the baby, Jeremy?
So cute. But
what's her name?
So tired. Margalit.
Margalit. Named after someone?
My bubby.
Not Rabbi Sinavadia.
Peril, though.
Your bubby what?
My bubby was Peril, though. We modernized it.
I was going to say Margalit is not such an Ashkenazi name.
Correct.
That was Rabbi Sinavadia's Rebbitzin was Margalit.
Yes, Ray Simon got very excited about that.
Okay. So she's tired or you're tired?
I wish she was tired.
Okay, are you in the Heights or?
No, we're in Woodmere by my in-laws. Very helpful.
You should stay away from Yeshiva at least another couple weeks to be safe.
I know. I'm thinking, though, that this is great, though, because then everyone's going to come back so much more immune.
Could be. I guess whoever's left will, whoever's gone will. Okay. Good. Evan should be healthy.
Sure.
Nice and tough. So Mirtz Hashem, Wednesday, 3:00, and I guess the Zoomers will still be Zooming, right?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
On the Gemara Daf Ayin Daled at the top about Zorer and Borer.
Yeah.
Right, the Gemara quotes the answer, right? The Gemara asks, what about Kotesh, right? Dosh and
right.
Kotesh. And Abaye gives the answer, if she can't ani. And at least my understanding up until this point is that the whole thing about Siduri the Pas was sort of just like a mnemonic just to help you just remember the different malachos. You know, Abaye is saying the fact that ani doesn't need Kotesh to eat his bread,
right.
That means that fundamentally we'll define the malach in that way. She's like, I don't understand this far. Minabai is far. It's just not coherent to me. Is my question clear? I mean, I'm not understanding by his far. I mean, I understand what he says, but it just doesn't make sense to me. So.
It doesn't make what doesn't make sense?
I mean, the fact that we're defining an av malacha based on the fact based on how an ani eats his bread.
The fact that we're defining av malacha based on how an ani eats his bread. Well, I think we're saying that Sidur de Pas reflects the universal way of preparing bread. And if there's a subset of the population that doesn't do it that way, then that doesn't fit into Sidur de Pas.
Yes, that's just me. Sorry, I mean, my impression is that the avos were defined based on the Mishkan, but this Gemara is saying that there's a second factor in defining the malachos, which is interesting. I don't know.
Right. Okay. I guess we can give that more thought.
I didn't know what to do with this Gemara when I first saw it. It was. Yes, I'm not sure. No.